This program is proudly sponsored by Holistic Therapies by Camille. Fancying a full body massage with cup-in therapy to help you relax and release tension? Go to holistictherapiesbycamille.com to book yourself in.
Miley Cyrus and Flowers opening the show here on Joining the Dots on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. I'm Julie Kissick, and if you're new here, this is a programme about connection and how the experiences that we share, the people that we meet, and the circumstances we find ourselves in can unite us as human beings. We're hoping that this show goes some way to helping us literally join the dots to better connections, better awareness, and maybe even better experiences. And we'll do it sandwiched between plenty of great music. Here's Olive, and You're Not Alone. Now, according to the website Nexus Radio, at its core, Olive's You're Not Alone is a testament to the power of music to heal, uplift, and to unite us in times of adversity. Its message is one of solidarity and of support, and it serves as a reminder that even in our darkest moments, we're never truly alone. Olive invites us to embrace our vulnerabilities and find strength in connection, inspiring us to persevere in the face of life's challenges. And for all of those reasons, it seemed like a fitting song to introduce the theme of the programme today, which is loneliness, because this is Loneliness Awareness Week. And I'm really aware that I don't want to sound glib or dismissive when discussing loneliness, because it's very easy to do when we don't understand the severity of it. And dealing with loneliness isn't about joining a club or making a phone call or reaching out to others. We know that it isn't that simple. Many of us will be familiar with the concept of loneliness because it's been talked about in recent years as being a global epidemic. That phrase has been widely used, but we're not talking about a virus here. We're talking about a feeling, and research on loneliness is generally conducted through self-reporting. And I think that's a really significant thing to say right at the start of the show. In 2023, the World Health Organization, which is the United Nations agency that's responsible for international public health, declared loneliness to be a pressing global health threat. Last year, a report by the World Health Organization on social connection showed that social isolation and loneliness are widespread, with serious but under-recognized impacts on health, well-being, and also on society. And the WHO called for social health to be treated with the same urgency as physical and mental health.
What if a major health threat we've so far overlooked isn't a virus or a disease, but social disconnection? Human beings are wired to connect. From the moment we're born, our health, physical, mental, and social, depends on the relationships around us. Health isn't just the absence of disease. It's physical, mental, and social well-being. But across the globe, social disconnection is widespread. One in six people worldwide experience loneliness. And though it affects everyone, it's most common among young people and in low-income countries. Science tells us that loneliness and isolation are linked to heart disease, depression, and even early death, killing 100 people every hour. This isn't just a personal issue, it's a public health challenge, and we can do something about it. The WHO Commission on Social Connection has released a groundbreaking report. It shows what works, from national policies and community programs to digital tools when used wisely and everyday human kindness. It offers a path forward for governments, schools, workplaces, and each of us. Because social connection isn't a luxury, it's a lifeline. And by making it a global priority, we can build healthier, more resilient societies together.
Now, we know that feelings of loneliness are personal. Feelings are personal, which means that feelings of loneliness are also personal. So everyone's experience of it is going to be different. Some people would describe loneliness as the feeling they have when the need for social connection and relationships isn't met. It's widely acknowledged that loneliness isn't the same as being alone. Some of us feel content without much contact with other people, while others of us find that a very miserable experience, and it's something that we would wish would be different. Some of us can feel lonely when we're with others, and some have friends or family around, but they still ultimately feel disconnected. We can have lots of social contact and we can still feel lonely. And the crux of it for many is that if we don't feel understood or cared for, then we feel as though we are on our own, not alone, but lonely. Now, clearly, this isn't a problem that I can solve or we can solve collectively. And of course, that isn't the purpose of having this discussion today. But it can be helpful to hear other people's experiences and suggestions. And sometimes they're deeply personal stories. And we're going to hear some of those after Alison Moyet and Invisible here on Joining the Dots on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. So I put a post up on my personal Facebook account yesterday asking people that I'm connected with, obviously, on that platform, if they wanted to share their experience of loneliness or if they had any tips to combat loneliness. And I did the same in a couple of WhatsApp groups. I won't share the names or the personal details, but I had some replies, and I guess the first thing to say is that they were all very different. Some people shared deeply personal experiences of situations or incidents that had been a catalyst which led to them feeling lonely and isolated. And for some of them, that feeling has become a constant. Other people talked about not allowing themselves to feel lonely and how they had some, in some cases, quite detailed strategies to help them. So those things varied from going for a walk in nature, listening to a podcast or to music or painting, drawing, watching sport or a series that they enjoy on the television or online. And I guess that's about distraction rather than focus. And it isn't my place or anybody else's place to say whether that's a good way of trying to deal with a situation. But I think what it did show was that the people who responded to me in that very small sample were quite different in what they viewed loneliness as. For some people, it was very deep-rooted, and as I said, it was a constant. It was something that they were aware of for large parts of their days. And for others, it was very different. We're going to hear from Ian Smith. Some of you who have listened to this show religiously since the start, and we're on programme 16 now, so thank you if you are one of the faithful. Ian was someone that I interviewed early on in the programmes, and he is involved with Helpy, which is a men's health charity. And one of the phrases that he used when I interviewed him was, connection is protection. And we're going to find out a little bit more about that.
One of the interventions that is clearly works is when men start to connect with each other, that you begin to see changes and you begin to recognise that that connection is actually protection, really. So for us, it was about creating somewhere where you could connect to each other, or at least know where you can connect to other people. Connect to resources around them, and also connect to stories that matter. Because when I worked as a therapist, I recognized when you begin to hear stories of how people have overcome where they're at and the difficulties in your life, you begin to see your own life differently. So things like narrative therapy, for example, are classic when it comes to that. But also you hear those stories when you connect with other people in groups. So if you go along to a group and you've got a group of mates and they say, oh, you know, I went through that. I went through a divorce and it was really difficult, but I've come through the other side of it. That really makes a difference. But in Wales, there's an awful lot of men who are not connected to each other. So for us, it's all about connection, and it's all about that connection is protection, essentially.
How do you connect people then?
Well, we'd encourage people. What we want people to do is to encourage people to go through the doors of the men sheds that are around Wales. You've got Andy's Man Club. You've got lots of different organisations. You've got Man Up, who have just started in Wales at the moment as well. The 70 men sheds throughout Wales, for example. So we want to encourage men to connect with those. Browd, there's Browd you've got in Cardiff. You've got Mates in Conwy in North Wales. When you begin to connect with those spaces, you do really begin to make a difference. We've started groups of our own because we recognise that some men can't connect with other men in those kind of spaces. We've got a bi and gay men's group which operates online all across Wales, which happens every other week. There's a face-to-face version of that as well in Cardiff, which is really well attended. And what's amazing, and for me, is when the stories that come through those spaces, when people say, I feel better now, I do feel better. And it's not even about them talking about their own struggles. It's just hearing other people's struggles, that recognition that we're not alone. Because often, I think, we've heard it all before, you know, men need to talk to each other. But actually, why would somebody open up to their mate if they don't know that that mate's going to know that they're in a safe space to do it? Why would you talk about something that's really deeply personal to you if somebody's going to just brush it off as if it's like nothing? So we've got to create more of those spaces around Wales. And that's the other thing we're about. We want to create more of them. So we've got bits of funding here and there to try and help create more of those spaces. And, you know, I guess I'd have appealed to the audience. If you're interested in setting up a men's group where you are, it could be very niche. It might be a board game community. It might be you're in a football club. It may be you're in a rowing club. And you need help to set something up where you are. Please get in touch with us, because I think the more spaces we can have, the better. And also, I'd like to encourage people to think, oh, I can't do that. I wouldn't be able to do that kind of thing. I think it's better that the space exists for one person to be helped than not to exist at all, just because somebody feels they've got to be some mental health professional. I don't think you have to be a mental health professional. I think you've got to care and you've got to take care of yourself. But I think it's a lot more accessible than people think. And I think, I know I'm always gone onto the pitch already, but I think, it'd be really good if people hearing this would recognise that, yeah, you might have something to give and have a go.
And Helpy, the mental health hub that Ian was referring to there and the groups that they facilitate, there is an incredible website. It's Helpy, helpu.org.uk. And on the website, there are so many resources. I'd really encourage you to check it out. That was Justin Timberlake and Mirrors. And before the infomercials, we heard Coldplay and Viva La Vida. Now, our focus is on loneliness today, something that most of us will feel temporarily at some stage in our lives, and a feeling that for others is much more of a permanent fixture. One of the people who got in touch with me after I asked for comments on a Facebook post was a former nurse. She told me how many elderly people she'd nursed in hospital and in a surgery setting had declined significantly after they became socially isolated. And sometimes that was as a result of friends or neighbours not calling, or their health deteriorating and them being unable to get out. Some people don't have close family, and when their social network or support system shrinks, they feel increasingly isolated. And she told me that their decline was often inevitable, particularly when sight or hearing also declined and people became less able to interact on the level that they were used to. I had a message from someone who was divorced and was finding it difficult to balance their week when they were only seeing their children for half of it. They said they felt that they'd lost their sense of purpose, and the loneliness when they were on their own was debilitating, and also meant that they were less keen to make an effort with other relationships. And I heard from someone who had a close relationship which was disrupted as a result of serious illness. The pair went from speaking daily to not because of hospitalisation and treatment. And when the person who'd been ill was well again, things never went back to the way that they were. So the daily phone calls stopped, and that resulted in the other person feeling increasingly lonely and isolated. And someone else had lost a partner after many years together, and their death was sudden and shocking. It meant that many of their family and friends didn't know how to handle the partner who was left, and so they didn't make contact, or the relationships became fractured, and that resulted in social isolation and what they described as ongoing acute loneliness. These are tough stories to listen to, but they're real, and they were only the tip of the iceberg. So what can help, I hear you ask? It's been a question that I've asked too, and I'll tell you what I've found out after The Real Thing and You to Me Are Everything. So, as that jingle says, is music and good company the key? Well, for some, that certainly would be a positive. And when I was researching the WHO report and looking at what organisations and charities were doing to mark Loneliness Awareness Week, I came across the 32 Steps to Togetherness. It's a programme that's been constructed by Civil Society Together, which is a community interest company. It's a not-for-profit organisation which was established by a group of people who believe civil society organisations are the key to health, equality and social solidarity. They say on their website that their mission is to support, catalyse and energise society and organisations by being a reliable source of excellent support at low or no cost. Natasha Irira Gaya is one of the organisation's founders.
32 Steps to Togetherness is a manual for individuals like you and me, 32 steps that we as individuals can take to build connections in our own lives, for ourselves, to tackle our own feelings of loneliness, but also to build a sense of togetherness more generally. So it's all about building connections within and also between different communities of people. Building social connection is the answer to both loneliness and social fragmentation. And the only way to build authentic connections between people and communities is from the bottom up. And that's why we've created this resource for individual people to follow to build a sense of togetherness. There are 32 steps in the manual, which is a pretty big manual. But in a nutshell, it suggests adjusting our thinking patterns and approach to interactions. So, for example, don't let the fear of awkward moments stop you from having meaningful interactions. And it's also full of tips for developing social relationships in our local neighbourhood and workplaces, and through small but significant changes to our habits and hobbies, including how we interact with our neighbours and the people in our immediate vicinity. If we had to pick one area of the manual that I would say is kind of the most important or the most pivotal, I'll be tempted to say thinking well, because I think making those small adjustments to how you think and approach social interactions and interacting with other people, I guess all of the other steps kind of flow on from there. But equally, I think changing your habits. I mean, our habits rule our lives and we're following them all of the time. So if you make quite small but significant changes to your habits, it can have such an enormous impact on your daily life and the daily lives of those around you.
The organisation is also facilitating a project which is designed to help people to share their stories. They've worked with community groups, grassroots organisations, charities, social enterprises, cafes, libraries, all to support people and to foster connection. They've been working with these organisations and groups to capture stories of hope, connection, community and unity in short films that can be shared to challenge the narrative and to inspire people to create new positive behaviours. Here's Natasha again in one of their social media videos.
Things are looking pretty dystopian out there. We live in such divided times. Many of us are feeling a deep sense of division, loneliness, fruitlessness, and despair. And these feelings don't just hurt us personally, they actually immobilize us, stopping us from doing the things that we can do to make the world a better place. The good news is, what we see on our screens isn't actually a very accurate representation of reality. Across the country, community groups, grassroots organisations, charities, social enterprises, libraries and cafes, and lots of other places too, are working every day to support people to foster connection and peace. Togetherness actually is profound, and we need to tell those stories to make it even more so. And it's actually pretty urgent. By capturing and sharing these stories of togetherness through short, shareable reels, we challenge the narrative of division, loneliness, hopelessness, and despair. And therefore, we can mobilize people to be more positive, connected, and hopefully become more active in their communities. By capturing and sharing everyday stories of connection, love, and coexistence, we can inspire people to create new behaviors. We show them, rather than tell them, how they can live. So that's what we're doing. We've been delivering free filmmaking workshops to community groups and grassroots organisations across England. We've been supporting them to capture one of their many stories of togetherness or stories of hope in a short film. These films are going to celebrate local heroes, showcase acts of neighbourliness and solidarity, and reveal the simple but really powerful ways that we can choose love and cooperation every day. People that are living and breathing the 32 Steps to Togetherness. We are now working with a fantastic network of national partners to share all these films in a national collaborative social media campaign. And we are inviting you to help us. Help us share these films with the world. You might have a story of togetherness that we can help you capture through film. If so, yay! Comment below, let's do it. It might be something super simple, like a new lunchtime routine at your workplace. Or you might have a member of your community that you want to celebrate, a neighbour, a volunteer. If you happen to be an influencer or you've got a big Instagram following for some other reason, please be a force for good. Share the films on your story. Maybe you're even up for being a collaborator on some of the films that are relevant to you. If you are a humble Instagram user like me with a normal following, follow us. We need your likes, shares and comments to help us beat the algorithms.
Well, that's a really interesting concept, as I'm sure you'll agree. And this organisation won't be the only ones that are trying to help to build connection within and between communities and to initiate a sort of behavioural and cultural revolution which makes us all feel more together and less alone. And I'm going to make it my business over the next few weeks to see what more I can find out in terms of local groups, local organisations who are trying to do something similar. So do check out the programme page on the Radio Glamorgan website. It's radioglamorgan.com/joinin-the-dots. And there'll be details of the organisations involved in today's show on there. And I will also update it as we go along to see whether I can find out of any more groups or initiatives. And if you know of some, please, please, please get involved and do let me know. You can get in touch with me via the Hospital Radio Glamorgan website. No doubt, and don't speak here on Joining the Dots on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. I'm Julie Kissick. Thank you for your company. We've tackled a difficult topic today and one that I don't feel that we can ever really do justice. So I'm definitely very keen to revisit it and, as I said, to find out as much as I possibly can about what sort of initiatives are going on locally in the Cardiff and Vale area so that those people who are interested in trying to connect with others might just be able to do that via some groups that maybe they haven't heard about before. And I'm going to see whether I can find some other interviewees as well to talk us through a bit more about loneliness and perhaps some advice or pointing us in the direction of support that might be of interest and of use. So do join me again on Friday if you're interested in sport, because I'll have all about sport on Hospital Radio Glamorgan at 6 o'clock. And I'll be back next week, next Monday at 5 with another Joining the Dots. Take good care of yourselves. Until then.